After completing her MFA program in nonfiction, Hannah Tennant Moore set off on a 2-month sojourn to Sri Lanka to examine her longtime interest in Buddhism before beginning the next chapter of her professional career. Immersed in the culture of the country and inspired by the fascinating people that she got to know, she began to connect the threads that would form her new novel, Wreck and Order. The result is a novel of ideas that looks at spirituality, sex, love, friendship, and the eternal quest for fulfillment and life and love that drives us all. It is a great pleasure to welcome Hannah Tennant Moore to the roundtable. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
It's a delight to have you here. This is your debut novel. How did it ultimately came to be? I gave a sketch as to what you were doing, but was there always a seed of an idea in there even before the trip?
Not for this particular novel. I actually, throughout my 20s, I was researching a different novel, which I'm now at work on. So the Wreck and Order came to me sort of as a surprise. I started working on it on my 28th birthday, and I had come back from Sri Lanka a few months earlier. While I was there, I wasn't planning to write a novel. I really wanted to just give myself 2 months to be in a foreign country and put my life on hold and sort of take a good hard look at what I wanted to do next. But as it turned out, Sri Lanka was such a rich and interesting culture that I ended up just filling up notebooks and notebooks with my impressions. And so then a few months later, I got the beginning of a story about a young woman who returns to Sri Lanka as an act of desperation, an act of survival, kind of fighting for her life. And so I started writing that story not knowing where it was going to go, not knowing what she was running away from on her way back to Sri Lanka that time, but knowing that I wanted the novel to include a self-awareness and self-inquiry around sexuality and religion, and also just to use some of the amazingly rich material that I had gained when I was in Sri Lanka.
Was there a moment when you were in that place, in that country, that you were walking around, you're backpacking for, what, 2 months, and you're going from place to place? It is a journey. Was there a moment, sort of an aha moment of, oh, okay, this is what I can use. I've learned something here.
There was. It wasn't really a cerebral aha moment. I was standing one morning in a dirt yard. I was staying with a family that I had gotten close to in this tiny village. And I had this moment of just feeling very aware of the senses. It was very sunny and hot. The water was coming down in this well where I was brushing my teeth. And my friend was calling out to her brother in Sinhalese, and there were birds calling, and I just had this strong sense of, okay, this is my first novel. And then the moment passed. There was no sense of narrative at that point. I just had a sense that I was so overwhelmed by being alive in that place and that I could use that eventually to write a story.
So you came to write it later.
I did.
And was there a conscious, because it would seem to me that what you would try to do is recreate that moment in some way and to dissect that moment as much as you possibly could or can. Was that the case?
That's such an interesting question. I think because the moment was sort of just this flash of pure being that's not in the novel in a literal way, but definitely a lot of what the novel gets at is the struggle to have those moments in life where you're not concerned with your identity, with presenting yourself a certain way, with what's going to happen next and trying to manipulate events to go your way, but you're just there. And that's something that Elsie, she has kind of flashes of that kind of pure being, and she tries really hard to hold on to them. But of course, you can't really hold on to a feeling like that. And so her efforts to hold on to that feeling actually only create more suffering.
Elsie is your protagonist. This is a young woman who is very excited about life, but also depressed, and is really having some troubles figuring all of this out. She is a fascinating character. Give us a sense of what ingredients you wanted this character to contain and ultimately to explore through her.
Yeah, I'm glad you said she's excited about life. I definitely wanted to have a character who is both very exuberant and enthusiastic about all kinds of new experiences and really appreciates being alive and appreciates the world, but yet has a very difficult time interacting and succeeding on the social plane. One of Elsie's main characteristics is that she rejects all the conventional pathways to happiness for most privileged millennials. So she doesn't go to college, but she's very smart. She doesn't want a monogamous relationship or a family, although she craves intimacy. She doesn't pursue a career in any kind of realistic way, although she's intellectually engaged and curious. And so the book is sort of her struggle to figure out her own way to have a sense of being okay and at ease in the world in a way that's not been forged for her by other adult models.
I don't want to oversimplify it because that is denying the true power of the novel, but really she's looking for the meaning of life. She's looking for the meaning of life and her life.
Yeah, it's hard for me to say my novel is about somebody looking for the meaning of life because it risks sounding so...
Well, as I said, I don't want to dilute it anyway, but it's an eternal search that so many... You get up, you grow up, you get smacked around by life a little bit, and then at some point you say, oh, so what is this about?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to just float along until I die. I want to have a sense of really... Who am I? What am I doing here?
You have since been back to Sri Lanka.
I have. I went back twice while I was writing the novel. So with the second two trips were more purposeful. And I did research and spoke to people about the Civil War.
To help define your experiences and your observations.
Right. And at that point, especially the third trip, I had a sense of, I knew I needed a funeral scene, for instance, and I'd never gone to a Sri Lankan funeral, so I had to find out about specifics like that.
So did you look that up in the paper and then find out who dies, or do you?
No, I just asked friends.
Oh, okay, all right.
I just talked to people. Yeah, it was all about just having conversations with people I met.
Let us talk about the sexuality that is an issue in throughout the book and of where that comes from, because it seems, in my reading of it, it seems to come out of perhaps a concern that you have of how young women come to this issue and try to figure it out.
Yes, I definitely wanted to look at through fiction rather than a critical, more essayistic approach, a problem that I see facing young women. It certainly, I felt it in my generation. I have noticed it even more with teenage girls that I know today. And that you could call the problem the inequality of pleasure. That's certainly not a phrase I would use in the novel because it's gives it more of an ideological, analytical feel to it. And there have been researchers who have even identified something called the orgasm gap, which essentially just shows that women orgasm much, much less frequently than men in all kinds of situations and are in general much, much less satisfied. Then our culture tends to almost exclusively eroticize male pleasure, which you can see in movies and porn. And so there's all these examples. But I wanted to get at the problem not through a list of these examples, but more through what makes this actually a problem for individuals, for humans. And to me, that's that it's painful to be a young woman who's excited about exploring her sexuality and getting to know herself and other people in this new way, and then to find that the majority of her sexual experiences are either degrading or disappointing, and just make her feel more alone. So I wanted to just describe that experience and just let the experience speak for itself.
And to engage a conversation, because even the character, even Elsie, seems to be saying, well, is this me, or is this just the way it is?
Or is this just the culture that
the society.
Right.
Culture.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, I wanted my character to be consciously rigorous in her thinking around sex, because I found that there's been an increasing permissiveness and casualness about sex in books and movies, but that's not necessarily accompanied with an increasing intelligence around sex. So then if you're just talking about sex a lot, but you're not thinking deeply about it as a bodily emotional experience, then it can just become very vapid. It's just sort of like an image on a screen. Mm. And I consciously wanted my narrator to think through this stuff and to allow herself to be confused and pained and sometimes joyful over it, and to really look at those feelings and where did they come from? What's their motivation?
And she goes to Sri Lanka out of desperation.
She does.
So there is a seeking there.
Absolutely. She does genuinely want to change her life. Not necessarily, you know, becoming a millionaire and getting the perfect husband.
Right.
But she wants to approach her days with less suffering, with less angst, and less a feeling of this need to be a certain way.
As you said a moment ago, you wanted to leave the conversation and leave it open for people to interpret and to discuss. How would you, in your mind as a writer, how do you see that playing out for people of what the grand scheme would be, what people would do once they read the novel?
Oh, wow. I hadn't thought this grand scheme through yet. I would love, I mean, one thing, I would love for there to be male readers of the book, as well as female readers, because it's a female narrator, it's a female experience that automatically, I think, discourages some men from being interested in reading it. But I think that it would be helpful for both men and women to have a sense of how casualness around sex can affect a particular kind of person. I don't blame boys or men for this inequality of pleasure, as I called it, at all. I think it's a cultural symptom. I think it also just comes from just people being confused and not communicating. So just increased communication, I guess increased bravery for both genders, and talking about what they genuinely want and don't want.
In going to Sri Lanka, what does that culture afford you and allow you to think about that you would be unable to think about here in this country, in our culture?
Well, Elsie says when she first gets there that she realizes right away that she cannot. She says something like, "This is an island which renders my sexual need irrelevant," because women and men there can't really. They don't really flirt. There's a lot of prohibitions around how they behave towards each other until marriage and even after marriage. And also, as a white woman, Elsie is the victim of a lot of unwanted sexual advances from Sri Lankan men who see her as easy prey, because there's an idea in Sri Lanka that because of the billboards and ads and the movies coming out of the U.S., they have a sense of American women as just all wanting to have sex all the time with anyone. So because of those differences, she finds herself in a more private space than she's used to, where the way that she's used to interacting with people no longer works. It doesn't have the same context in Sri Lanka. And so she gets to know herself kind of in a purer way, where her conversations with people are very simple. There's also the language barrier, which she finds to be somewhat freeing, because she finds, in general, social interaction pretty trying and difficult. Mm. And so in Sri Lanka, she's able to just observe and feel her days without a sense of, what am I going to get out of this interaction? Or how can I manipulate this interaction so that I look a certain way?
The name of the book is Wreck and Order, a Novel. It is published by Hogarth. Hannah Tennant Moore, thank you so much for spending time with us. Best of luck with the novel.
Thank you so much for having me. It was
great
to talk
pleasure.
To you.
Again, the name of the new novel is Wreck and Order. It is published by Hogarth, the author Hannah Tennant Moore. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.